interrupt your program to bring you this important podcast. How to 911.
Can you put me out of service on a podcast, please?
Hi, welcome back everybody to How to 911. I'm Sammy.
I'm Erica.
And we are recording from home today. A lot of people, as you can guess, around the world and in general are getting sick. So we have decided to just record from home. So if the audio isn't that great, I apologize. We're doing this over Zoom. We're trying the best we can to still try to get you content in timely manner, and then also just content in general. And we've had to already postpone some recording times because of us getting sick ourselves. So it's just trying to navigate personal lives as well as work lives, and then try to get the podcast out to you guys as promised. It's just, so you know, we're trying our hardest. So this is what you're going to get. So I apologize, but we're going to do our best. Today, we're going to be talking about our application / hiring process. I know we've kind of talked about the training procedure as to like what the steps are with, like, you start in phones and then we integrate radio and then we integrate Tech 3 and then we do our data channel and then we do our PD channel, like the main channel. So we've talked in depth about that, but what does the hiring process really entail? And I know that we've briefly skimmed over it, but for those who are really interested in this job and want to prepare for it, I know that it's, especially for us, I'm sure we could vouch for this. It's like, it's kind of blindsiding to think of like what all the testing and requirements are. And if you're not prepared for it, you might fail out even though you're qualified for this job, and it's just discouraging. So try to prepare you for as much as possible so that if you are really interested and passionate about what we talk about and get discouraged about the testing process, maybe we can help you out a little bit.
Yeah. And it's like, it's overwhelming and it can be longer than what people think, just because of everything that you're going to talk about takes time and scheduling and investigation. And like you said, discouraging, like, oh my gosh, I want to start in 2 weeks or whatever. But so if you apply, know that it's longer than you might expect.
Yeah. And I think it's also hard because it's like right now with the job market, I feel like somebody who's out of work, who's really looking for a job and is interested in this, might need a job like right now versus a job in maybe like the 6 months that it takes for us to figure out if you're a good fit for us. So it's kind of difficult. And I know there's talk. I don't know how far that talk has gone because I'm not part of the whole hiring process with our agency, but talks of like how to make it smoother and more efficient to where we can get people on faster and stuff like that. But it's hard when you have that human part involved, and especially with what's going on right now, it's like when people get sick, we can't expect them to still finish the background investigation or whatever it might be at the time. So it's we're all trying to navigate this as best as possible. So yeah,
we will get into it before Erica keeps interrupting. Sammy, do you remember when you applied and then when you got out of training, like how long that was?
I applied, I can't really remember. I feel like I want to say that I applied in like May. I got hired in July for sure. I know for sure I got hired in mid-July. I feel like, what's the month before May? June? No.
April?
Yeah. I feel like it was around the springtime that I applied. And then I got for sure in the summertime. So about 3 months.
See, okay. That makes sense because I was the fourth, no. So they're hiring four. I was the fifth person on the list. I applied in January, I think. And I got out of training in November. And I started in June.
I got out of training beginning of December, end of November. So is that right?
I feel like we were training in January together. But I don't know. The point of that question was to see like when you apply to when you finish training is 9 to 12 months possibly. Yeah.
I for sure got out before January because they let me shift bid.
Yeah, but that's in October. And they let you shift bid for first quarter?
Okay, congratulations. I know it was a very special case.
Yes.
I was still in training and I was like, going to be getting out pretty soon. And so they were like, well, if she's getting out, I don't know. There is some talk about it. So I know that's not usually the case, but
yeah,
maybe because I had prior experience or something, they were more comfortable with allowing me to shift bid, but
it makes sense. Okay. I'll stop randomly.
Oh no, that's fine. This is what our podcast is about, is us talking. So it's totally fine. So right now for our agency, and I'm sure it's probably like this for most, if you're interested in 911 or dispatch in general, and you're in the East Coast or something, so our particular agency isn't a good fit for you. But most agencies, if you go to their website, sometimes they're like state employees, sometimes they're county employees, sometimes they're city employees. So you just have to figure out what that dispatch center is categorized within that, and then find their website, and then find the job posting from there. For us right now, because we are really needing to fill a few positions, we have our particular posting is open until we get full or fully staffed, which is going to be a very long time. So it's just going to keep, I'm just being honest with the training process. The training, as you can tell, we just said it takes a long time to get somebody fully trained and into that console on their own. So within the next year, I do not believe that at all we're going to be fully staffed and fully trained for that. So at least within the next year, I think that job posting is going to stay open 24/7, 365. Usually we only open it every quarter, depending, but right now we're really looking for some people. So you have to apply first. I believe that the basic requirements are like a high school diploma or GED or equivalent to that. And then that's pretty much it. You don't need any prior experience, even though obviously prior experience is greatly appreciated, but we know that a good handful of our people that we're training aren't going to have that prior experience. We're very understanding to know that, like, in order to get into this job, you have to get into this job, and you don't always have that experience, because who does this, you know, without getting trained anyways. So then it goes through on our job posting, at least, about like what the job entails, which you could listen to our first few episodes. We do a very basic lowdown about what we do and stuff. And obviously you can listen to all the episodes if you want to hear more in depth, which I hope that you listen to all of them if you're listening to this one. So the next would be in the process, I believe we have this testing called Critical. Right now, because of restrictions and stuff, they are online testing for that. Erica, you just took this test, didn't you?
Yeah, a few months ago.
Do you want to go in about what all the critical test tests you on?
All of it? I do not remember, but I will say it. And I feel like maybe we did talk about this in the training one. So a refresher if you've listened to that. It's kind of like a video game, like a dispatching video game is how I characterize it. So you're listening to someone like call in about a problem that they're having. And then one of the modules, it pops up in the bottom right-hand corner and it says, someone has fallen and broken their arm. Who would you send? Police, fire, EMS, or utility company. So it's kind of showing like your multitasking skills. If you can listen and still follow along and then choose which agency you need to send to solve this problem or help with this problem. And then there's a bunch of them, different things that you have to do, like using memorization if someone gives you a license plate, or just filling in information as they're talking to you. And what's nice is for someone who's done this job before, it goes a little bit slower than real people talking. So if I called in and be like, hey, there's this person down the street and da 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 da, this recording is, hello, I am Janice Mitchell. I live at 244. And so you're able to, if you've never done this before, typing in information as someone's giving it to you, you're able, hopefully, to keep up, and that's what they're testing you on. And there's also things like geography and directions. Like if there's a one way, how would an officer get to one side of town from the other? And I'm trying to think of if I can remember anything else. That's like the big stuff.
Yeah, I know there's some spelling things. So it'll be like, what's the difference between there and there and like stuff like that. So you can, it's really basic spelling things. So I say basic just because that's what my education system taught me. So maybe it's not basic anymore. I don't know. But like things like how to spell certain words that you might use quite often, like avenue, like how do you spell that? Mm-hmm. Even though it's funny because like so one of our partners took it and she was telling me about how like there were some words that they have you spell and she's like, we would never spell that in dispatch, right? We would shorten it because mm-hmm. that's a big part of like keeping up with your callers is learning the common shortened versions. Mm-hmm. What do we call that? Abbreviations?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Yeah. But like for suspect, we don't spell out suspect. We put SUSP or whatever the situation is. So you learn those little short versions, but it I guess wants to make sure you know how to spell it the first place,
right? Or use it. I think there might was there like punctuation or there was like a typing one too, and I can't remember the last time I used a capital letter when I was dispatching. Like when I'm writing an email or something, I'll do that,
but I'm not timed on my emails.
Right, exactly. And I will even tell my trainees, like the one in training now, it was like, stop capitalizing names, we don't need that. And she's like, sorry. And then I was like, oh, Rachel does it. I'm like, oh, okay, you can go back to doing that, but it just it saves time if you're just like blah blah blah.
Yeah, I capitalize names. I just like to have that difference. But then when I'm going fast, I know I for sure don't capitalize names. It depends on like how, like, can I keep up with my caller or can I not keep up with my caller? Right. We'll determine if I capitalize and take that extra like millisecond to do that.
Isn't that funny? That is like a, not even a half second, a millisecond, but to save that keystroke as I'm demonstrating it on my, on my table now, I'm like, yep.
Yeah. Speaking of which, the critical test is one separate test, which is remote right now. So you can do that whenever you're able to. And then there is an in-person typing test in this job. I think you're typing speed goes up significantly than from when you first started. And like when I first applied, I was like, oh man, I like type so good. And like thankfully I typed well enough to get in here, but like I wish I could see how like the progression of my typing speed, because like I'm sure it's way more than how it was when I first started working. And I think it's really interesting. So if you're worried about your typing now, I don't remember what the minimum typing speed is, but I feel like it's like 30 words per minute or something.
And I
like
that. Thought it was 40, but maybe it's 35.
Yeah, I thought it was 42. I don't remember. I'm just going to start throwing random numbers at you guys, but I think it's a pretty average like typing speed, and it, you can work on it obviously as you go down. And one of our partners who's also a CTO has also found a really cool like typing online class. I don't remember what it's called, but I'm sure you can Google it and say like typing like 911 dispatch, and it has a whole bunch of modules where you can type in addresses, you can get faster at that, and like phone numbers and names. Yeah, it's really cool. So we've had some of our trainees start working on that to try to improve their typing speed, because that's a big part of the job is making sure you can keep up with callers. And I mean, I get it, like everybody's going to miss something, so clarification is always important, but like keeping up is a big part of the job. So making sure that you can listen and type, and that multitasking that we've talked about is a big part of the testing process.
And I was just going to say that I use a 10 key on, you know, on the keyboard.
Uh-huh.
Some people will use the numbers at the top of the letters, which I think if you like took a typing class, like I took one in high school. Yes, that's one of our extracurriculars that you could take. But if you learned how to type up there, so you don't have to move your hand from the keyboard over to the 10 key, but I use a 10 key and I'm super fast at that. And the ones at the top, I'm like 7, 7, 7, 2. So that's something too, like you said, if that testing or the online thing, you could practice that, entering the numbers.
Yeah, on Erica's point, I also use the 10 key, even though when I was in school, typing class was a big part of our computer class that we had to take. I don't think it was in high school. I think it was like in elementary school, actually. I know for sure I did some others in like middle school and high school. I think it's like a continued thing throughout all the grades, but I remember being taught like how to use those number keys at the top, like using what finger goes with the one and what finger goes right. with the, like you do with everything else. But it never worked for me. So I always use the 10 keys too. So, I mean, it's like whatever works for you. We all have our own different thing. Okay. So then after all of that, then there's these really important interviews that you do. I guess it's just an interview for this particular one with the administration staff at the police department, as well as dispatch supervisors. There's typically three people on the board that you're interviewing, that you're being interviewed by. I mean, you do get to interview them at the end with the questions, you know, your typical, like, do you have any questions for us? But I think I had four people when I was interviewed. Do you remember how many were on yours?
I had two rounds of interviews and I had three rounds actually. And I think there were three on my first panel. Yeah. I had a CTO, a detective, and like a firefighter or something. And then on my second panel, it was with, so this is just down memory lane now. like all the CTOs, so four or five people. And then my final interview was with the communications manager at the time.
Oh, gotcha. That's interesting that we've narrowed it down to just the one. I had one of the assistant chiefs of the police department on mine. I had Becky, who was a supervisor. I had the communications manager at the time, who was a lieutenant with the police department. And then I had one of the CTOs on there. I had no idea who any of these people were at the time, but that was fun. So it's kind of intimidating, but I think that's the whole point, is like how well you can do with that added pressure of these kind of big name people that you don't know are big name in the agency.
Right.
Being there and asking you questions. So then also kind of going on while you're doing the testing and stuff, you have to submit like a very extensive background paperwork. Basically, I think it's like 20 pages and it goes into personal things like where have you lived your whole life, like who have you lived with, like obviously references of general, like people that you've worked with, who your managers were. It goes into your finances and it goes into like other typical questions like job, previous experience, and stuff like that. But it's a lot, and I can't really remember, but I feel like you have to answer questions about how you feel about your own integrity and stuff like that. I can't remember, but it's really extensive, and you get assigned an officer or a background investigator. It kind of depends. It's usually an officer because we only have, I think, one or two background investigators that are maybe more than that are admin staff at the police department, such as dispatchers and other administration like records and stuff, but they are assigned and they will go through your paperwork and stuff and follow up questions for those that are listed on your background for like questions about your integrity and stuff like that. Really in depth. They also have to fill out quite a few pages worth of questions about the candidate. If those are typically emailed, but I think also they can be handled by phone, depending on what the circumstances are. Again, depending on the circumstance, the background investigator will go to your house. I know mine came to my house and I was like cleaning in my pajamas. So it's kind of like, oh, hi, what's up? And my investigator, he interviewed my neighbors about me. He interviewed my job that I had worked at previously that was in the same town. He like went to the place in person, was like talking to my old boss. So they really go in depth about talking to people to get an overall idea of who you are as a person. Also during all of that, you have to submit a drug test to make sure that obviously you know what drug tests mean. So then another big thing about this is a psych evaluation, probably just because of the things that we have to deal with. We have to make sure that you can handle those kinds of things, or if you can't, this obviously isn't the best choice for you. I am going to say that like I've been going to therapy for a very, very long time, since before I started in this line of work. So don't be hesitant to sign up for that kind of thing if you do have prior experience with mental health issues. I think it's just to make sure that like this line of work is for you. With that, you take a 200-page questionnaire and stuff like that. So it, I think it's more kind of testing, again, your integrity, your honesty, who you are as a person versus if you're depressed, you know? So it's, we're not trying to find those people and kick them out, because we've talked all the times here about mental health on the podcast and about how 911 in general has a big stigma with mental health and how we're trying to make the right steps forward with fixing that. So I think the best part about addressing that right now is saying, if you have these issues, and they're really not issues, they're just human things that we have to deal with, do not be afraid to apply for this job, because everybody has these issues and we just don't talk about it all the time. So I just want to make sure that doesn't scare anybody away. But you do, after you take the questionnaire, get interviewed by a psychologist. I think right now they're doing that via Zoom, and that questionnaire you do online and stuff like that. So I'm not sure if that's going to change or not, but I know I did mine in person. And I had to drive like down to Denver. I was living in Wyoming at the time. So it was a bit of a drive, but you know, for this job, it was worth it. And then I believe it all. Do you have anything you want to say about that, Erica?
I just want to say thank you for sharing about you being in therapy and how one, people aren't like very open about that. So that's very nice. And two, I just completely agree with that sentiment. It's not trying to find the person who's the happiest and whatever, it's trying to find the person that will fit the job and the job will fit them in the healthiest way.
Yeah. And then it ends it all, I believe, with the polygraph, because I feel like the polygraph is the last. I know you can have your debates or whatever you want with the polygraph, but we still do them, and it's something that you have to pass. And I think it's just more so, again, testing your honesty and integrity. My polygraph was pretty easy. It was my second one. So like the first one that you do is super stressful. It's really scary because it's not something everybody does. And my polygraph examiner scared me because she was like, you know, I've arrested people in the middle of interviews. And I'm like, arrested people? I'm here for a job application. So I think my second time was way easier. He did not try to intimidate me or anything like that. So that was at least forthcoming. So, but it's again, just trying to test your integrity. If you have prior like drug use, especially in the state of Colorado, marijuana is legal. So if you have that prior history, just be honest about it. And if it's within the range or whatever, I think like within the 3 years of applying, you're fine. But if you're not being honest about that, they'll find out. I mean, I know it's just a good way to test and make sure that people, everything that you've gotten so far in this extensive background with the psych eval and everything, it's all matches up at the end with checking your honesty, if that makes sense.
It does to me.
Okay, cool. And then basically during this whole process, you have a conditional offer, which basically means it can be taken away at any time in which any of these processes get failed, which, you know, it happens. A lot of people fail out in the beginning with the critical tests. A lot of people fail out at the end. It's just one of those things. You're just not the fit for our agency. So, I mean, that's not to try again. You never know what might happen. Maybe you just had a really bad day and your psych eval just went down the drain because you just lost a family member or something like that. So it's hard. And I'm sure if you explain that, we can try to take that into consideration and try to retest you or something like that. But again, I'm not part of that process, so I'm not sure, but we try to take like that kind of stuff in consideration. But a lot of dates for testing and interviews are pretty set because of obviously our schedules at the job. We already have these days set aside for interviews and stuff. So trying to be flexible with that. Some people apply from out of state. Like I was applying from out of state. We have a candidate right now that's applying from out of state. So again, we'll try to work with you as much as we can, but you know, got to be understanding as well. And I also want to throw out there that every agency is going to be different. So we do a polygraph, but I don't think every agency does a polygraph. I know the polygraph for one of our partner communication centers in Fort Collins, theirs is different. They do like a voice polygraph, which I'm not sure how that works, but I know, or at least at one point they did something like that. I remember hearing that. So it's all different depending on the agency. So just make sure to check your agency that you want to apply for and see what the process is. And I forgot to mention that we usually do sit-alongs for yes. The people that are going through the process. lockdown hasn't really been happening for these past few because of COVID and stuff like that. So just if you can do a sit along at your agency, it depends on what their policies are. Right now we are on shutdown. Obviously we're recording from home. So yeah, that's pretty much it, I think. And then you get started. If you're looking for further walkthroughs about what the critical test, about the typing test, about anything that we've talked about, there's this really cool dispatcher that I found on Instagram called The Raspy Dispatcher, and she goes through a whole bunch of stuff. She has YouTube and she posts about how she will walk through the critical test with you and everything like that. I believe she's a dispatcher in Northern California. So I'm not sure how different it is between the two agencies. I imagine it's not too different. It's the same program. So right. I can't be that different. I'm sure it probably has different options of like different tests for them to take. But either way, she would be a good resource. Again, it's The Raspy Dispatcher. I'm sure you can search her on YouTube and find her page. That's it, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. That's all you need to do to get hired.
Yeah, that's it. It's easy, right? but I mean, if you, again, if you're within the Northern Colorado area, I know a lot of agencies are hiring and it's hard right now to wait so long for a job. But if you're interested, I think we just interviewed Greg Ward with the Loveland Fire Rescue Authority, which I believe will come out, I'm thinking like February 15th. That sounds like a good day. And he talks about how they're also looking to hire command staff and stuff like that. So we're a growing agency. They're a growing department. We're all growing. So trying to fill those vacancies as well as vacancies in general, it's difficult, but we want to hire the right people. So get on our team. We'd love to have you.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think that's it. I'll stop rambling. You can check us out on Instagram at How2911 Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook at Loveland Emergency Communication Center. And what else? You can email us any questions that you have about this. Please do at How2911 Podcast. I think it's podcast. I think it's just How2911.
I think it's How2911.
Yeah, cityofloveland.org. Just try How2911 at cityofloveland.org. And if it comes back saying that it could not be sent because the email doesn't exist, then try throwing the podcast in there. I'm so sorry. I can't think of it off the top of my head right now. I think I gave the wrong one for the interview with Greg Ward. I think I said the podcast one. It's fine. But if you do email us and we respond back to you, we do respond back to you with our personal work emails. So just make sure to keep that in mind if you're looking for a response back from us. We're not trying to ignore you. You're just probably not looking for an email that says Sammy or Erica. So there's that. And then as always, guys, know where you are, know your phone number, and tell us exactly what happened. Okay, it just stopped. Oh, just kidding.
Oh.
I don't know what to do. Should I just wait for it to stop again?
Yeah. Oh no, now I cannot hear you.